Proverbs 3:13. I like that first word. I'm staying with the theme tonight. I'm going to give you three quick secrets of the happy Christian. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, speaking of wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. And I want to just start the night by saying, and I Googled this. Well, there's so many things that are I know bad about the internet, but one of the things is if you want information, what a blessing. What I used to be able to take a half day to go to the library and search articles and archives. It is amazing, just a quick Google search, some of the things that you can come up with. But you know what? Medical science is reaffirming what the Bible has taught us. We read the verses at the beginning of the night that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Here's a feature story, University of Maryland Medical Center website. Laughter is the best medicine for your heart. For your heart. Can a laugh every day keep the heart attack away? Maybe so. Laughter, along with an active sense of humor, may help protect you against a heart attack, according to a recent study by cardiologists at the University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore. I'm just going to read a few of the opening sentences. These are entire article from the WebMD feature archive. Give your body a boost with laughter. Why, for some, laughter is the best medicine. Feeling run down? Try laughing more. Some researchers think laughter might be the best medicine, helping you feel better and putting that spring back in your step. It begins to list some of the advantages here in this article. What happens when we laugh? We change psychologically when we laugh. We stretch muscles throughout our face, our body, our pulse and blood pressure go up. We breathe faster, sending more oxygen to our tissues. People who believe in the benefits of laughter say it can be a mild workout and may offer some of the same advantages as a workout. The effects of laughter and exercise are very similar. Combining laughter and movement is a great way to boost your heart rate. And just another article, laughter's effect on the body, a blood flow, immune response, blood sugar levels. One study of 19 people with diabetes looked at the effects of laughter on blood sugar levels. After eating, the group attended a tedious lecture. One group did. On the next day, the group ate the same people, ate the same meal, and then attended something like we had tonight where they laughed a lot. After the comedy, the group had lower blood sugar levels than they did after. Aren't you always excited when medical science catches up with the Bible? You say, preacher, does this make you feel better? No, I knew that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine because the Bible told me a merry heart doeth good like medicine. But it's always amusing when medical science figures out the Bible's right. Here's from helpguide.org. And having to do with health and health research. Laughter is strong medicine for mind and body, a powerful antidote to stress, pain, and conflict. Nothing works faster or more dependably to bring your mind and body back into balance than a good laugh. Humor lightens your burdens, inspires hopes, connects you to others, and keeps you grounded, focused, and alert. And then they break down again. Health benefits. Laughter relaxes the whole body, boosts the immune system, triggers the release of endorphins. And laughter, again, protects the heart. And there's more here. Here's an article, 8 health benefits of laughter. And I won't read all of that. Like I said, I don't need those articles to confirm the Bible, but it is kind of neat to read and see that certainly people that are in the medical field that study this and do this all of the time affirm what the Bible says. Hey, listen, watch this, folks. We take life way too seriously sometimes. I know that there's serious things. I know that there's times when we should not have levity. One of the great things that you'll learn, young people need to learn growing up, is just how to be appropriate. how to be appropriate in every situation. Certainly there's times to not goof around and not cut up. And then somebody that doesn't seem to understand any boundaries when it comes to that could cause a lot of hurt. I mean, listen, you're in a line at the funeral home and it's your chance to get up and comfort at the pulpit. It's not time to see if you can drop 15 one-liners on a family that's grieving and hurting. I'm just saying you have to learn to be appropriate. But I also think that there are opportunities where humor would certainly help, and we just are sometimes almost pre-programmed against it or don't know how to develop it in our lives. But let me just say this, keep a light heart and learn to look at the funny side of life. Almost in every situation that happens in your home, and we are calling this family camp, but there's a lot of times a situation happens, something happens, somebody does something, and everybody gets quiet, and you know what? Everyone's standing on the brink of a decision here. And I'm not talking about something where somebody does something wrong and they need to be seriously corrected, but sometimes, have you ever heard parents of something called an accident? And sometimes things just accidentally happen. And you know what? Everybody stops and everybody's tense and everybody looks a lot of times at daddy and mommy to know how to react. Now listen, let me just say this, folks. You can find reason 50 times a day to blow up and throw a fit, or you can find a reason 50 times a day to smile and laugh and be a blessing and an encouragement to people around you. Listen, good night. You know what? If it was an accident, it was an accident. You know what? Let's laugh about it. Let's tell a story about it. Let's help that child relate to the fact, guess what? You've never spilled anything or tripped over anything or broke anything in your life. And what I'm saying is, I think what we need to do in our homes is maybe lighten the atmosphere a little bit. Okay? Lighten the atmosphere a little bit. Learn to laugh. Learn to smile. Learn to have a good time. Learn the benefit of clean humor. And I do emphasize clean humor. It's sad. They have something. I've never watched it, never had it on it, but I read a couple articles about it. They have something on TV called the Comedy Channel. And you know what? I read in a Christian publication as they dissected the content of the Comedy Channel. And by the way, I'm not recommending it. Please don't ever turn it on. If you have it on there, it's 100% almost garbage. They dissected the content of almost every show that is should have been designed to bring laughter and humor into the lives of people, and instead they want to use swear words and vulgarities and perverseness and meanness and hate, and all of these things are considered funny, I guess, to a segment of our culture. And I think, you know what, it's so sad, because there is such a thing as good clean humor, and good clean humor, and it's a blessing to our heart. Preacher, you're a pretty happy person. You know what? I watch maybe from a distance. I don't spend a lot of time with you, but you know what? The honest truth is, I see you smile more than frown. I see you laugh more than cry, and that doesn't mean that there aren't times where I have heartache, and there isn't times when I shed tears. But you know what, folks? I've learned to view life. Listen, aren't you glad God's in control of everything? I just want to encourage you to lean back in faith. And don't go crazy over every little thing that comes up. You know, I think maybe the thing that we can learn here tonight is to learn not to overreact to things. Listen, take things in stride. There's going to be good news throughout every day, and there's probably going to be bad news throughout every day. There's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. Blessed is that person that learns to kind of take an even-keeled approach to life and to accent the positives and diminish the impact of the negatives on themselves and on their families. Listen, learn to smile. Learn to smile and be a blessing to the people around you. Let me give you some thoughts real quickly. Let me just uncover out of Proverbs 3 verses and 3 secrets of the happy Christian. Number one, the Bible says here in our text verse that we read, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every man that retaineth her. I promise you this, if you will spend a little time every day gathering wisdom, it's going to make you a happier person. Where is wisdom? Where is wisdom? Let me show you where that is. Wisdom is contained within the pages of this holy book. And so if you're going to spend time every day gathering wisdom, you need to spend time every day in the Word of God. Why would it say that happy is the man that findeth wisdom? Why is it reckoned to a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her? Happy is every man that retaineth her. What is this teaching us? It's saying this. The more that you learn from the Word of God, and the more wisdom that you learn, and the more that you apply wisdom, watch this, the more you learn to sidestep things and avoid things and weave around things and foresee things, that's going to cause you a lot of heartache. Folks, sin causes heartache. Sin causes despair. You know, Satan baits you by showing you the part of sin, that little bit of pleasure at the beginning. But I promise you, folks, after all of these years preaching and years, now decades in the ministry, I can tell you that the thing that causes more genuine tears and heartache and despair, and I've sat in my office and listened, watched people cry oceans of tears, is sin. And foolishness. Now, young man, if you're wise and if you want a happy life, what I'd do is I'd get up a little bit extra early every morning and I'd get into the book of Proverbs. How many times have you heard your preacher say this? How many times has this been preached by other guest speakers and evangelists that have come in and said the same thing? Hey, there's 30 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And you know what? Most months of the year, there's 30 days. Oh, some months a little less, some a little more. But wouldn't it be great if we just trained ourselves to read a chapter of Proverbs every day? Let me say this. Those of you that caught that, and maybe for years now you've been doing that, and you spend regular time every day in the Bible gathering wisdom, I promise you, those people are the happiest people in this room. So number one, spend time every day gathering wisdom, and that is a secret of a happy Christian. Number two, go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 21. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 21. I'm going to give you what may be the most valuable of the three. As far as something that's completely in your control to do and something that you ought to energize and activate. But in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 21, we read this. He that despiseth his neighbor, watch this, sinneth. Remember, despise doesn't mean to hate them. It means to undervalue them. Somebody that undervalues the opportunity to be a neighbor to someone sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the what? Poor, happy is he. A lot of times we read a verse about the poor, and what we think about is somebody who financially maybe are a bit destitute, financially are without. But I think and believe by studying the Word, I think I can take time to prove out what I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. How many of you have know somebody that maybe financially appears to be well off or rich, but in other areas of their life they're desperately poor? And I think this matter of poor just speaks about somebody that you come upon that has a need. They have a shortcoming in an area. There's something that they do not have that you possess. God brings them into your past, and you have an opportunity to give them something that they're lacking in their life. Listen, how do you become a happy Christian? Spend time every day gathering wisdom. Number two, spend your life living for others. Spend your life living for others. I want to just say this, and I always hesitate because I don't know a lot of times illustrations to tell about other people, but I know that we live in a church where these things go on. Matter of fact, brother, just recently, Brother Charles or Brother Jack Gordon have come to me several times recently with that offering envelope that somebody dropped into the offering plate and had heard about a need of an individual family in our church and just wanted to anonymously use the church offering plate as a way of quietly and secretly and anonymously helping some other family in our church. And let me say this. I don't know who they are either, but I guarantee you this, they're happy. Now look right up here and let me help you. There's two ways of thinking right now, two ways that your mind's working. Some of you are sadly sitting there saying, why doesn't someone do that for me? And you are not a happy person. Because you just don't get it. You don't. You hear about somebody being blessed and your immediate reaction is that you're resentful towards that person. Come on. You can sit there and act like it's not true, but you better search your heart.
Yes, sir.
You can say, wow, why don't they do something like that for me? Or you could have had this instant reaction. Well, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a great idea. I might just be missing something. I wonder if I just paid attention to the people in my own assembly. The Bible says that we ought to be good to everybody, but especially those of the household of faith. Do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. I want to meet every need that I can, but brother, if there's a need in my family, and this is my family, then why wouldn't I be the first one to step up and see if I could be a blessing to that? You say, preacher, I don't have a lot extra. Watch this. I didn't tell you how much. Well, if I had an extra 100, I'd give it to them. How about just trying an extra 5? I always tell the story about the farmer that came to the preacher and said, you know what, preacher, if I had $1,000,000, I'd give it to the Lord. And he said, how about 5 pigs? And the preacher said, oh, that ain't fair. Preacher, you know I got 5 pigs. And we're always talking about what we would do if we had something we don't. But here's the great question of the night. You want to be happy? Then why don't you look at what you do have? And say, it may not be a lot extra, but you know, we could do this and we could do that. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to take off on a delightful journey of life, you just spend your life looking around saying, who can I be a blessing to? Who can I be? I'm telling you, folks, listen, I'm not lying. Say, preacher, you just seem so happy. I wish I didn't have any problems like you do so I could be that happy. Preacher, I wish I had a stress-free life like you do so that I could be so happy. I'm going to tell you, it's none of your business, and you know what? You ought to give in secret, but this lady knows we live our life that way. We live our life that way. You want to have some extra? Give when you don't have much extra. And God might just figure out he can trust you with some extra. Come on. How about if we all just decided we're going to start putting our antennas up and looking around and asking the Holy Spirit of God, point me out some things. I learned this attitude by watching my mom and dad in our home. I've watched my mom and dad when, honestly, my dad early on in the ministry sometimes was in a situation financially where they hardly had 2 nickels to rub together. I've watched my mom and dad go to our cupboard when we barely had enough groceries to feed our family and put some things in a bag and take it to somebody else. You say, boy, isn't it wonderful the way God took care of Pastor and Mrs. Ross and their old age. They must have been socking away some money in a 401k somewhere. No, they were socking away some rewards up in heaven. And God's not going to be outgiven. I took that attitude and that training into the inner city ministries of Chicago for 6 years. And I'm going to tell you something. Everywhere you look, there was a need. And sometimes I could meet it and sometimes I couldn't. And I've stood, I don't know how many times, on a street corner and wept because there was somebody that needed something and I didn't have it to give them. And yet the most miserable Christians in the world, dozens and scores of times, sit and cry for themselves because they want something they can't have. And they've never shed a tear over a need they have not been able to meet. I've gathered our bus workers back in those Bible college training days at the end of a Saturday or at prayer meeting time. And I said to guys who I know was struggling to say in Bible college, guys, I hate to ask you this, and I'm not asking you to do anything that I wouldn't do, But what do you got in your billfold? Because Mrs. So-and-so down here that's sending her kids, I walked in the house, I opened the cupboards, I opened the refrigerator. They're not just feeding us a sad story. They're destitute. What can we do? And I mean a few dollars here and a few dollars here and a quick trip to a corner grocery store before we climbed in our car at the end of the day. Folks, that wasn't something that happened once or twice. That was something that happened on a regular basis. Listen, if you've ever walked, come on now, come on, folks. You want to be happy? Some of you are delusional about this. You think happiness only comes when somebody gives you something. And so you sit around waiting for someone to make you happy. And then most of the time you're bitter because nobody will do it. But let me share this with you. If you take the Bible approach to life and you really buy into the idea that happiness can be experienced anytime you see a need and meet it, then you can be happy anytime you want to be happy because there's a zillion needs out there. There's a zillion needs out there. You ever walked into a home a few days before Christmas and seen a scraggly tree with a few handmade ornaments on it, no presents underneath it, and a bunch of sad-looking kids when you look at them because, you know what, you don't even understand what's going on and you smile real big and say on a Saturday visitation bus, I bet you're excited, 3 days to Christmas! And all you get is blank stares or downcast looks. Or little girls that look over underneath the tree where there's not only nothing now, but on December 25th, there's nothing, going to be nothing. I mean, have you ever in your life, watch this, kids. Well, I'd love to see where we'd have some children. Go to mom and dad. Come on. You want to experience Christianity? Stop waiting until you're 21. You know why some of you kids, come on now, why some of you kids are so miserable? Because you're selfish little wretches, that's why. Come on, no matter how much your parents give you, you're still sputtering and spitting about what you didn't get. They're dragging you out of the department store and you're sitting in the back seat whining because you didn't get all you wanted. What about Christianity getting down in elementary age kids? Where maybe the kids could have a little powwow and knock on mom and dad's door a couple weeks before Christmas. And when the doors open, say, Mom, Dad, we've been talking. You always give us so much and you're so generous to us. Would you do us a favor? Could you maybe take two or three gifts away from each of us this year? And maybe we could find a family and use that to be a blessing to somebody else. Maybe there's somebody in full-time ministry struggling, or there's just a next-door neighbor, or maybe there's a widow lady that, you know what, Christmas after Christmas, she sits in her house by herself while she's forgotten by children and grandchildren. Come on now. They're right here in the county. Or maybe go down to the nursing home where, listen to me, room after room on a Christmas morning. People are saying, you mean, a preacher, you mean on Christmas morning, you want to raise Christians? Yes, sir. Well, preacher, that's our family holiday. Oh, I'm sorry, I was confused. I thought it was the birthday of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I guess I got all mixed up there. You know, I think this man naming his child Xmas got me mixed up there for a minute. You know, I thought it was about Jesus. Secrets to being a happy Christian. Let me give you the last one real quick. Chapter 16, verse 20. Proverbs 16, 20. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. How do you become a happy Christian? You spend time every day gathering wisdom. You spend your life living for others, and you fully and wholly trust the Lord in every matter. Trust God. Trust the Lord. Don't just say it. Trust in the Lord. We worry way more than we should. We worry about things that we have no control over. Do you really believe Romans 8:28 is in the Bible? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Have you learned to trust the Lord to do His... Listen, handle wisely your part. That's what the first part of the verse says. Handle wisely your part and then trust the Lord to do His part. Are you saved by faith? then have you learned to live by faith? My granddaughter was in the truck with me. We took a quick trip to Walmart here just to, I think it was this morning, I can't remember, the days are starting to run together. And we turned on the WYTJ. She turned it on, wanted to listen, and just as she turned it on, it said, start saying something about how they were thankful for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and our support to that radio station. They mentioned my name, Pastor Jerry Ross. And Ariana heard that. And she looked and she said, Jerry Ross, that's you. And I said, yes, it is. And so she's listening. And I think she thought the radio broadcast was coming on. And then all of a sudden, right after that, Lester Roloff began to sing. What's that thing? Something about the along the highway, begging. Sing it. You see, cuts his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and said, his flee. She's listening. She looked up. She says, is that you? And I said, no. But I got a chance to tell her about a pretty special man that, watch this, gave his life providing homes for little boys that didn't have homes, and a home for little girls that didn't have home, and meals for little kids that would have been hungry. Are you listening to this? You know what his favorite song was of all the songs that Lester Roloff is known for? Living by faith in Jesus alone. Are you getting this? How do you become a happy Christian? This is it. Every day I'm going to open my Bible, I'm going to dig and say, God, give me wisdom, because that's going to help me avoid a lot of heartache. And instead of crying over something stupid I did, I can rejoice because of a victory I won. I'm going to spend my life looking for needs, and I'm going to fill those needs. And you know what, Lord? Even when I don't understand what's going on in my life, I'm just going to put my full trust and faith in you. I want you to be happy people. I want you to be happy Christians. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to spend some time laughing and rejoicing and having a good time tonight. And Lord, some of the tomfoolery and some of the humor, and God, a chance, dear God, maybe to laugh for a while. I know that there's real people in this room that has real problems. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to just learn the great secrets of the Word of God when it comes to this matter of happiness. May we find in the weeks ahead, look for opportunities, dear God, to smile instead of smirk, laugh instead of languish. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that you'd use the sweet Spirit of God inside of us, direct us, Lord, to those things and those opportunities that bring true happiness. Bless our time. Now, afterwards, keep everybody safe. We pray in Jesus' name.